And we have approached the time of the year right before we reached this first day of Unleavened Bread, which is today, when we are at our cleanest, when it comes to cleaning our homes and cars, for example, making sure that we remove as much leavening as we can find. And we all love to clean. I think everybody that I talk to loves cleaning. I love cleaning. I'm being really facetious here. I don't think anybody likes cleaning. But what we can say is after we are done cleaning, it almost gives us that sense of accomplishment and that refreshing feeling when everything is clean again. It definitely requires an effort on our part to do this even when unexpected things arise. Like, for example, a washing machine that breaks and floods the whole laundry room. Or let's say maybe an exploding vacuum. That's probably the worst thing that could happen. That did not happen to me, but it could happen. But things like that that you don't expect, where you had to put in extra work, or perhaps even limit us from getting things done which we had planned on getting done. Something always gets in the way. And these are just some of the obstacles that we go through in life, trying to veer us off course. And Satan is very good at doing that. For many of us, this may be the only time of the year where we go through such measures to have everything clean, primarily speaking on the physical side of things. Now, what about our spiritual side? Do we also go through such measures during a specific time of the year only, or shouldn't this always be the case, making sure that we remain clean at all times? How do we react in that second thereafter when we discover something leavened? For example, like maybe a box of baking powder on the stove after you have cleaned everything, and then the day's unleavened bread already starts and you discover that and forget to dispose of it. For an example, what is our initial reaction when we find something that we should have thrown away? Did we sin when we discovered sin, ironically? Or do we also react that way right away when we do something that we know we shouldn't have done? When we have a reaction like that, it is actually a good thing because we also know that God is working with us. When we know we have done something wrong, and you think right away, I shouldn't have done that, that's good. Of course, it's not good that you sin, but at least it's good that you caught it and then obviously repent of it. But this is why it is very crucial that we remain clean as much as we can at all times. Now I want to talk about some of the animals in the world. And besides my sister, does anybody else know what the cleanest animal in the world is? And I'm talking about when it comes to, not when it comes to consuming them, just saying in general. You'd be surprised to know what that animal could be. Does anybody know what that would be? What? Nope. Overall? Only the kids would know? No. Maybe my sister doesn't know this. Anyway, if you just type this in on Google or whatever, this question, you may be surprised to see what the top answer is, and that is pigs. According to PBS.com, I just picked one site, they are saying, contrary to popular belief, pigs are unable to sweat. Instead, they wallow in mud to cool down. Their mucky appearance gives pigs an undeserved reputation for slovenliness, which is excessively casual. In fact, pigs are some of the cleanest animals around, refusing to excrete anywhere near their living or eating areas when given a choice. Now, although they eat just about anything and digest their food in only about 4 hours, any toxins the pig eats are stored in their bodies. Because they are unable to sweat, they aren't able to get rid of toxins in their bodies. So, but another animal, which constantly grooms itself, are considered some of the cleanest animals on earth, are cats. And they keep themselves clean to eliminate all smell so they are invisible to potential predators. And this is mainly for the wildcats out there. But cats spend up about half of their waking hours cleaning themselves. Now, a popular bird, which has a vital role in cleaning up the environment, are the vultures. They are often referred to as a nature's cleanup crew. Their scavenging ways help to prevent the spread of diseases such as rabies and tuberculosis through clearing away carcasses. Now, I have firsthand experience of this, not to say I'm a vulture, but where we live, we have a lot of the turkey vultures around that live there. And it is true, you find a carcass around, I just throw it over the fence, and not even a day later, it is gone, completely gone. So the vultures there do clean up very well. There's also plenty of fish known for their constant cleaning, like the pleco fish or the sucker fish, and they're primarily the bottom dwellers. Another bottom dweller like the goby fish, if anybody that has an aquarium may have some of these fish, but they spit the sand out after cleaning it in their mouths. The sand-sifting goby species literally chew the sand, removing the food particles. Also, there's another fish called the geophagus, which translates to a sand sifter or earth eater, and these fish will go to the bottom of your tank, grab mouthfuls of sand, sift through it, and then spit it out. And this process will be repeated all day long. So they constantly clean all day long. And then, of course, there are many other animals, I'm not going to go through everything, that keep themselves clean constantly. Now, for us, there's obviously much more involved, just more than animals do, than just keeping ourselves clean physically. But always remaining clean spiritually does have its challenges. However, we do have help. By having Christ a part of us, as his begotten children, always seeking him and having access to him through his Holy Spirit that gives us strength and help whenever we need it, this is how we can remain clean at all times. God never sleeps. He never rests on us or forgets about us. And we should be doing the same thing, at least in the sense that we should always have God in our lives. Something that we should not ever forget and take for granted. Yes, we do get sidetracked a lot with many distractions in our everyday lives, but that is also where our efforts and actions come into play. We always have a role to play as well, for we also make choices. Knowing what God's law is all about is a huge blessing for us. But the rest of the world does not know about his law, for his law is a mystery to this world. Let's notice Colossians chapter 1 and verses 24 through 29. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24, we read, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." The mystery, that is the mystery of Christ, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may be present, or that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." And then continuing on in chapter 2 and verse 1, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And thank God, it has not been hidden to us. It's not a mystery to us. We are called, and we are clean, and we are supposed to live that way. But we live in an unclean world, ruled by Satan. And we know how easily Satan can trick us, can trap us, can ensnare us, testing us like he tested Christ when Christ was on this earth as a human being. But we have to act as Christ did and conquer Satan by doing the right thing. By removing our uncleanliness, which is our carnal mindset fueled by Satan, we are to do the opposite. We are to live God's way and remain clean. Let's go to chapter 3 of Colossians and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And this is echoing a lot of what we heard already this morning from Eric Rank's sermon, seeing how this all fits together. This truly right here is the way of peace. This is our guide to happiness. If we live this way, we will be happy. If you are an unhappy person and you're not living this way, well, here you go. That is why. But if we do it correctly, we will be happy no matter what is going on all around us. These upcoming 7 days of our awareness of the physical leavening that we should refrain from, making sure that we don't partake of it, should not just reflect on the physical side of things, but also by remaining clean spiritually, which should continue on even after the days of unleavened bread are over. Our consistent spiritual cleanliness is essential for our salvation. To remain clean, we must also remain obedient, and we do as God commands. And by obeying God and by doing what he wants us to do, what is good and what is right, we will be rewarded for it. Even simply giving thanks to God for having chosen us is already a huge blessing. Notice 2 Corinthians 9, and verse 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully, that is, with blessings. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. We indeed have much to be thankful for even during those most difficult times that we are going through. Because we know that God is always there for us as long as we do our part and don't forget about him. And also, as we read in verse 15, went too early, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.